99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Dr. Ron Clark on the show right now. We're going to talk about some funny ER stories. Let's start with the chainsaw accident.
All right, so I'd taken care of a patient in the past who climbed up a ladder on a tree.
Wait, he put the ladder on the tree?
Yep, he put the ladder on the tree, okay. And he climbed up into the tree. He ended up standing on a branch up pretty high, maybe about 15 feet up, and was cutting the upper branch above it with his chainsaw, of course. So he wasn't on the ladder anymore. He's just on the branch, cutting down a pretty good-sized branch that was on the tree. His wife ended up coming out to sort of yell at him, like, what are you doing? Like most guys have done to them at some point in their lives. And the branch ended up that he was standing on ended up cracking because the tree was rotten, and he ended up falling, and the chainsaw whipped around and basically scalped the top of his head, so basically just shaved it straight off.
Oh, my God. Damn!
And, you know, he fell from the tree. Lucky he didn't actually get hurt falling from the tree. He did hurt his head, obviously, where he was shaved basically right across, and he... You know, that's basically called a degloving injury in the ER when you just basically shave the whole thing off and it just kind of flaps over.
Gross.
Basically like a scalping, pretty much.
Did it go through the skull or just the...
No, it went right on top of it. So he basically, she got incredibly lucky that it shaved basically his skin off. It touched his skull, so it kind of shaved it straight off. Right. So it did touch the bone.
So but he had a Frankenstein head?
Frankenstein head, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Never needs a haircut again.
Yeah, called flap.
He's good now. They were actually able to flap it back on because it had come off basically in one piece.
He's like a human Pez dispenser.
You put
a zipper. Looks like a Pez. That's exactly what he looked like, was a Pez dispenser.
A zipper would be cool. Put your money in there.
So he got about 100 staples to get that put back in.
Damn.
So lucky.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very lucky. You know, every one of the people that I see in the ER is usually either did something stupid or just having a really bad day. Those are kind of the two people, you know, either you made a bad decision and, you know, driving too fast on the highway, or like this next patient will talk about drinking and driving.
Well, back to this skull thing, you go in. This has to, like, you've seen everything, but you walk in the room and you see this. That has to, you take a step back, right?
Oh, yeah, you take a step back, and that happens most days or at least a couple times a week. So something happens or something that I didn't expect, you know, will just come into the ER, you know, and that's part of emergency medicine. All these cases make it fun for me in the sense that it makes it interesting and makes my life interesting.
It's not the same thing over and over.
Not the same thing over and over. I, you know... Other fields is more mundane, and my job in my life is, you know, I never know what to expect.
I'd love to be a fly on a wall at a party where a couple of ER doctors are saying, oh, yeah, really? Well, I had a guy open his head up with a chainsaw.
Yeah, exactly. Like a sardine can.
I think you win. Right, I think you'd win.
We call him convertible top.
Yep, and none of the doctors would be surprised. Like, none of the ER guys. Like, we try to top each other every once in a while with stories like that, and everyone seems to come up with a better story.
Wow.
You know,
to sell tickets, he's a scalper. Hey,
yeah.
Is he able to grow hair because they were able to get the flap back up?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think so. You know, I never do follow up really in the emergency room, which is kind of one of the sad things about my job. Like, I see you once in the ER, and the goal is to never see you again. That's basically when you see somebody a second time, that's actually a negative. That's called a bounce back, just like a ball bouncing back against the wall. And no one wants to, particularly ER doctors are very sensitive to that. Like, Chaz, if you were a doc and you came up to me and said, hey, I saw a patient that you saw yesterday, your heart just sinks because you're like, what did I miss? Well, you know, was it a heart attack?
Well, that could be a klutz or a
Well, this
customer.
Is just a dumbass. Yeah, he was in another tree, this time with a machete.
Exactly. Yeah.
Trust me.
But what do you tell that guy when he's leaving? Like, don't ride in a convertible for a couple days?
Right, yeah,
exactly. Don't
go swimming, yes.
Definitely no showers, right?
Yeah, no showers, stay out of the sun. Take your antibiotics because you're going to need them for a while so you don't get an infection.
Comb your hair gently.
It's almost like you have to tell him everything because if he's climbing a tree with a ladder, putting a ladder in the tree with a chainsaw, you got to tell him everything. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
No trampoline,
wear
a hat. No
trampoline,
stick.
Right. No anything. He should just probably stay in bed.
Right, wear a hat.
Don't jump in the ocean.
Right.
There are sharks.
Right.
All right. We have a drinking and driving story.
Yeah,
fortunately, no one was hurt other than the person driving the car.
Exactly. Wow. And I am very against drinking and driving. I'm just using this as a story just to talk about because it was just... interesting what the patient's perception was. But basically, I had taken care of a person, drinking and driving accident that happens daily in the ER with people come in. Some people don't get injured. Some people come in dead, you know, and everything in between. So, you know, I went into the room to talk to him. He was intoxicated and but was able to talk to me. Some people come in and are just completely unresponsive, like obtunded, and they end up getting intubated. But for this patient, he was talking to me. I could tell he was intoxicated. Didn't really appear to have any injuries or anything. And I had told him that he was in a car accident because he didn't remember the call come in on EMS, basically unresponsive patient in a car from a car accident. And that was kind of all I get. I get a little snippet of what happens, and then I have to kind of make my medical decisions of what we're going to do next. I basically went in and talked to him. He was awake, and he didn't really remember, like, why he was there. Like, he's like, I'm not sure what I'm doing here. And I told him, I said, sir, you were in a car accident. And he asked me, you know, well, you know, is the passenger okay? What did I hit? And I said, he hit a house.
Oh,
he had
no
he had no idea.
Why did they put a house in the middle of the road? Damn it.
A house. You know, the house just jumped into the road.
Damn GPS.
Exactly. Damn thing was in the wrong lane.
Yep. Exactly. And his response to me immediately was, good thing it wasn't my house. Like, that was his, like, he was just, like, thankful it wasn't his house. And I, you know, you look at these people sometimes in the ER, you know, about how clueless they are of the damage they could have caused to somebody. And, you know, it's like one of those things where, like, I don't know, his reality was different because he was intoxicated at the time. But the people in the house were lucky. They were home, didn't get injured. And he didn't have a scratch on him. And then other people, you know, can get injured and, you know, accidents and not be as lucky as he was.
It's funny that he knew it wasn't his house.
He knew it wasn't his house. He was sure it was not his house after I told him. So, okay.
Why am I here?
You're right,
exactly. An accident. Right. What happened? What did I hit? A house. Well, I'm glad it wasn't my house.
Yeah. When I had found that out, actually, the police officer had told me, you know, for the drinking and driving patients, they're brought in by EMS, but there's also generally a law enforcement person there as well.
Yeah.
And that I always ask, you know, this was on a night shift, so I'm asking for two reasons what had happened, like a quick story. One, to figure out what kind of injuries the person may potentially have had, like was it a head-on collision or did he hit a telephone pole or a stationary object? The second thing is to try to figure out if I'm going to have more patients coming in. If he tells me it was, you know, he hit four cars and there's six ambulances out there, then I know my night just got a lot worse.
Yeah.
So there's a few reasons why I want to know the story of what had actually happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Hit a house and was just happy it wasn't his.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, now I have a place to go when I leave because I didn't hit my house.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. We have one more from Dr. Ron Clark.
Yeah.
This is foreign bodies in the PP.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yep. So the sad thing about this is that the list kept going on and on with things that I've actually been associated with in the ER, you know, taking care of these patients. So the first story that we'll talk about, and again, this is kind of a theme that people put things in there, and why they do that, I'm not exactly sure, but it's not. This is multiple things that have come out.
Foreign bodies in the wiener. That's what we're talking about right now.
Susan Fox, sir.
Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus. Also, author of Surviving the Emergency Room, which is a great book to read. You want to read it now. You don't want to read it when you're on the way there.
Or in the emergency room.
Because you can create other problems.
Yes.
But it's available on Amazon.com. And if you have people you kind of like, you should probably read this book in case you need to bring them to the ER.
Or a klutz in your life, yes.
Yes. If you have an AJ in your life.
Thank you.
Buy this book.
I know. You're welcome.
So right before the break, we were starting to talk about foreign bodies in the penis. And why did I think it was from a pond? I didn't think it was people putting stuff in there.
Yeah. Intentional.
Right.
Yep. Intentionally putting things in there. Yep. Yep. This, you can't make this stuff up sometimes. It's funny. Actually, my residency director from 20 years ago when I was a resident at Hartford Hospital just texted me, and he's listening to you guys right now.
Like, hi. Tell him what about those.
Well, hi to him. Yeah, he's a good guy.
You know, of all the places, that's the last place I'd want to put anything.
Yeah, it's exit.
That just seems like torture.
Sounds painful, yes.
Yeah, and a catheter
pack. I'm just not seeing why people would do it, but it happens. I took care of a patient that was in police custody in the past who, you know, when we take care of people in the ER, the computer system we have has a tracker up in the front of the ER where each doctor has a board. And at my hospital, the Hospital Center of Connecticut, there's an A, B, and C board, and then there's a fast-track board. So I can see all the patients that are coming in, and I can see which ones are mine, and there'll be a little blurb. You know, if Chaz came in, chest pain. AJ, you know, zipper issue. So kind of thing, because, you know, that would fit. And so with the zipper issue, we usually know what that is, that you zipped it and the skin of the penis got stuck in the zipper. And that happens
from time to time. Yes.
It happens. You know, all guys, for the women out there, you know, that's a fear that every guy has. So that's just part of it. But in this case, I went to see the person because that's what I was told, the zipper injury. He had... you know, the law enforcement with him, but I, you know, did my regular exam, got the history and stuff. He said, you know, I have a problem with the zipper, this and that. I said, okay. So then I do my physical exam, and he had a normal penis and scrotal exam. There was nothing there. So I said, well, you know, what's the problem? He said, you know, the zipper's inside. He said, it's all the way inside.
Sure enough,
he had taken the zipper off of his pants and put it down his penis and pushed it all the way down to the base.
And what was the theory here?
So the theory is, for people who are in custody a lot of times, they want to get out of jail. They don't like the cell, and they'll do whatever they can to get out of jail. And I've taken the vast majority of the people that I've taken care of for these issues are people who are in custody who don't like it. And this is better than that. And what had happened with this one is... He didn't like the jail, and he basically was telling the people he didn't like it. So then he did this, and then he waited, and then he realized he couldn't pee. So, and because he couldn't urinate, then, you know, they ended up bringing him in to me because, you know, he couldn't because the zipper was in the way.
That was his plan, to go to the hospital so he can escape at the hospital?
Or just to get out of jail.
Right.
A lot of times.
Oh, see the outside for a minute.
Just to spend some time outside.
I had a person that I had taken care of years ago, actually, when I was a resident, and that had cut his arm from his elbow to his wrist, literally filleted open.
Oh, my God.
With a piece of, like, metal wire that was, like, from the bed or something, and he cut it open. It took me probably 3 hours to stitch because there were so many stitches. And I discharged him back with the Department of Corrections custody. Not 2 hours later, he was back with the same thing on the other arm.
Oh, wow.
And he looked at me, it's, you know, sort of terrible that I said, sir, you know, I just spent all this time fixing you. And like, for whatever reason, in the ER...
That's like a mom. I just cleaned this room.
Like, right. Boy, like, can you keep it clean for 5 minutes?
Exactly. I was kind of disappointed. And he looked at me and said, it's better to be with you. I like being with you better than I do in the jail. And so he did the other side. So I sat there, had to sew up the other side as well.
And then you said, you know what? I'm going to let you sit here for an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe you might want to put him.
But I won't send you right home. Just don't cut anything else. Yeah, okay. My hands are sore from stitching
that's the
you.
Reality. But they've put, I mean, the things that people put down.
He looked like a baseball when he left.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They call them stitches.
Yeah. Yep. But I mean, these people want to get out of jail and they'll do what they can to get out. They've put one guy took a milk carton, just a small milk carton they used to drink at school out of, just paper milk carton.
Yeah.
Ripped up every little piece of it and put all those pieces down there. Every piece.
Down where?
Down his wiener?
Penis. Down the wiener. Down the penis. So, you know, he did that. I mean, there's another person put glass in there. Someone put thermometers. And like, there's all these different things. People put rocks in there, like little pebbles,
like a shotgun. I mean,
that would be bad when you're having a sexual experience.
Right.
That could hurt someone.
Just broke a lamp.
This is my pee-pee gun. Right.
Yeah, this is not, you know, normal. And again, these people come into the ER, and then we have, luckily, my hospital, Central Connecticut, as well as all the hospitals in Connecticut, that, you know, we have great urologists that have to take care of these people, and you got to call them and tell him, you know, for the guy with the zipper, I had to call. It was actually one of my friends was on call that night, and he said, well, you can't take care of that. It's just the skin. You get some pliers and take care of it. I said, no, it's inside. He goes, well, what do you mean? I said, it's inside. It's in. I got an x-ray.
Right.
And it's the, and sure enough, there's a zipper on the pelvis x-ray. You know, as far as all the stories, one of the ones that was kind of shocking was this last one.
And these weren't.
These weren't.
These are routine.
You know, I've gone through glass, paper clips, thermometers.
My God.
Zippers, rocks.
It's hard to say you slipped in the shower and got a paper clip up there.
Right. Yeah, they usually say that. That's usually with the rectal stuff, Chad.
Right. The bottle of shampoo, I just slipped.
The bottle got there.
The light bulb, yeah.
A light bulb. I had a dog bone, rectal dog bone, a rawhide.
Did you see a light bulb in there?
The light bulb, I've seen x-rays.
I saw that one too, where I'm on Island, before the internet.
Pretty neat.
The small wine bottles I've seen dog bones, seen all kinds of other toy things.
Dog bones.
I had a rawhide dog bone that was halfway up in the rectal area, and it was actually more than halfway up, and it had broken off like a hard rawhide that I give my golden retriever that I have at home here. The that kind of thing that got snapped off halfway.
You
that person
funny.
Had to go to the OR.
Dogs
you put that out, the dog will still chew it.
I don't know about that.
I hope not. But the last one is this patient who came in.
I want to conference in one call before you get to that one.
Sure.
Mike in the car.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Mike.
I've seen these injuries before. I work in corrections. I've seen ink sticks, the part of the pen that they, you know, where it has the ink shoved in there.
Right.
I've seen.
That's an interesting.
Yeah, it's a ballpoint.
Writing instrument.
It's a ballpoint.
Look, I can write my name on the wall.
Pentel.
I've seen
it.
They literally put it on like the edge of the bed and smash it with a book or whatever, anything.
Just to get out.
Just to get out.
Anything.
Yep. Yeah.
Anything. You'd be amazed what people do just so they don't have to sit in a cell or a facility. A bed is in a hospital is better than going to, you know, sitting in a jail cell for 24 hours a day.
Wow. He is absolutely correct. We're on both sides of that. You know, he's on the one side in the jail. I'm
he
on
brings
the other
him
side
to
in
you.
ER, and we both have that same reality that the patients who are in DOC custody just will do anything to get out.
Oh,
sometimes.
Wow. That's horrible.
They don't call it the prison pocket for nothing.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
What's called the
I've
prison
seen cell
pocket?
Phones and. Yeah, I've seen the women are the worst. I've seen cell phones in areas where they're not supposed to be. And
hey, it's for you.
It's like a horrible magic trick.
You put on vibrate or ring?
There's a rabbit.
I did ask that once if it was on vibrate. I got yelled at by my boss for that one.
You just asked a question. That's all.
It was just inquiring minds needed to know.
Yeah.
She gave me a signal in there.
All right, Mike. Thanks for what you do. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
No problem. Bye-bye.
All right. So we have one more from you, Doc.
Yeah, so the patient who came in from a syncope episode, which means syncope is just passing out. So what happens in the ER at any trauma center, including my hospital, is that if someone falls and they're on blood thinners, which this patient was, that you would automatically call what's called a modified activated trauma. So because they fell on blood thinners, even if they have no injury, they get a whole trauma team to come down and the ER doctor and the whole thing. So this person had fallen down, passed out, was on blood thinners, had the trauma service down there, and during the trauma evaluation, the patient ended up being noted to have blood at the urethral meatus, which is the distal part of the penis, where urine comes out.
Okay.
And in a trauma patient, if you have blood...
That means the end, right?
The end of the penis where the urine comes out is called the urethral meatus.
It's wow.
The,
did you know that, AJ?
No, I call it something totally different.
I call it the end where the pee comes out.
It's D.
It's my official terminology.
The medical term is urethromatous, and that's something that you're trained in emergency residency or in a trauma surgical residency, that if there's blood at the urethromatous, that means there's a potential urethral injury, which could be bad. It means that where the urine comes out, it's not able to come out properly, and sometimes that means there's a pelvic fracture or something else where the bones slice through that area. It can be a problem, but it's every ER doctor and surgical resident and attending is trained to pick that up. So they picked it up in the ER, and they noticed that the blood was there, and they ordered their pelvis x-ray and their chest x-ray, and they told the patient, you know, sir, you have a little bit of blood at the tip of your penis. He goes, well, I do have two ballpoint pens in there.
Oh.
And the room was silent.
What colors?
Black and blue.
Two ballpoint pens. And how
they were ballpoint.
The corrections guy had just alluded to the fact that sometimes they'll take the ink, the kind of middle of the pen out, the part with the ink in, and put that down.
Yeah.
This guy put both pens with the clip, like big-looking pens, in there with the clip and everything.
So.
And they were, he got them in there side by side. So they weren't one after another. They were just one in there and then a second one in there. And it's probably likely that he passed out putting the second one in there, and down he went.
Wow.
So, I mean, I would have passed out from that, too. But why they do these things, I have no idea.
So instead of a big pen, it'd be a...
And he was not an EOS. He was just a regular Joe guy put two ballpoint pens in there.
You know, that's not the first time he put something in there. That's my guess.
I don't think... If you're going to a pen or two pens, Chaz, that's pretty hardcore to start with. I mean,
seriously.
Yeah. You don't start there. You start small and work your way up.
From something else, I think.
Wow. But it must have looked impressive, though.
Seriously,
evidently it was on physical exam. You could feel it, but he had him like way down in there, like way, way down.
You know what?
And great
penmanship. You don't get paid enough.
Great penmanship.
I know you make good money.
Right. Imagine UPS sign for this.
COVID and these things. And
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll have to privately talk about some other ones because the sad part of all this discussion is the first three or four or five things that I wanted to talk about, I got negged by either my wife or my friends to not talk about them on the radio. And that's after talking about pens and zippers and everything else.
One got a piano up there.
Yeah. It'll be a private conversation at some point in time.
Tickle the ivories.
Thank you, Doc. Appreciate you. You're the best. Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus, and more importantly, author of Surviving the Emergency Room.
Wow.
Should leave these. Really? Every person should have a copy.
Yes.